Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Becca. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Cameron Stutters. I'm the associate pastor here at MCA Church, and it's my privilege to bring God's word this morning. Well, do you remember your first job interview? Not necessarily your first job, but your job interview, the first job interview that you ever had. Do you remember those feelings going into that job interview? Excitement, nervous. Just looking around, for some of you, this was a long time ago, your first job interview. But for others of you, this just might be this summer or recent, or you know, just even getting a job this summer as a student. But I remember my first job interview. I was 22 years old. And before you think, Pastor Cameron, wow, failure to launch, right? Just remember, I worked for a family business, and there was a standing invitation to work as much as I wanted, up until the point that my wife and I were married, and we were living in Calgary, and it was time to make a resume, and to get a job, and to be responsible. And so I had put together what I thought was a decent resume, and I wrote some nice things about myself on there, and submitted it, and I finally got a call back for a job in Calgary. And you know, when you go to your job interview, you have to show your stuff a little bit, right? You can kind of put your best foot forward. You can maybe practice a little bit. But the kicker in getting your first job is not so much the interview, it's the references, right? You can say whatever you want on your resume. You can say whatever you want in the interview. But when they phone the references and find out, hey, tell me really how this person is, they might get a good picture of how things really are. And I wonder if we take that theme of references and just think about our life right now and where you're at in your journey, and we think about if I, Pastor Cameron, were going to phone your references and ask them to tell me a little bit about you, what would they say? What would they say? Would they say you're nice? Would they say you're kind? Would they say some honoring things like that? And if you're a Christ follower, a Jesus follower this morning, would they mention anything about that? If I asked them, tell me a bit about this person, would they say that you're a godly person? Well, what about the word holy? Holy. Would they say that you are a holy man or a holy woman? Would they say this about you? Well, this morning, we're going to jump into just a sermon today I have about holiness as our calling, as our privilege, and as our freedom in Christ. And so today we're going to explore the privilege of holiness as a believer. So if you have a Bible, let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 126. We're going to look at this Old Testament passage as kind of a springboard to get us started talking about this idea of holiness. So we're going to read a big chunk this morning, and then we're going to dive into this topic. So Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, and maybe we'll end around verse 11. I'll read it out for us from the NIV. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Sounds terrifying, doesn't it? Seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Well, let's stop to pray. Heavenly Father, what a faithful and good God you are. Thank you, God, that you are holy. Thank you, God, that you have chosen us. Thank you, God, that you have set us apart to be holy, to be like you, Jesus. And so my prayer this morning, Lord, is that your spirit be moving in our midst, that you would be showing us your truth this morning, Jesus, and allowing us to step into it, Lord. Help us to be a people set apart for you and sent back into the world around us to be a light, to be love, and to be Jesus in the places that we go, Lord. So use me to proclaim your word this morning, Jesus, and open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear you. In your name, amen. Well, this passage, it comes to us in the Old Testament, and that is the time long before Jesus, where God has created the world. He has created people, and it is good, but people have turned away from God, and that has brought in brokenness, that has brought in the fall, and sin, and sickness, and the world is now not as it once was. And God is beginning his rescue plan to restore all things, to redeem the world, and God begins with a family. He begins with Abraham's family, and he says, I choose you, Abraham, and Abraham believes God in faith, and it says it's faith, and then Abraham's family grows, right, and they grow into a big family, and then that family becomes a nation, and that nation ends up in Israel, and of course, what happens in Israel is the new Pharaoh comes in, and he says, look at this labor force, let's employ these people, but we're going to pay them nothing, right? They're going to be our slaves. And so Israel is in slavery for many, many years. They cry out to God, and God rescues them, right? Rescues them powerfully. And Moses works to lead the people out into the promised land, the land that God has promised his people, right? And so Moses is a leader. He's kind of acting as the coach. The people are about to step into this land that's going to be for them, but there's a bit of a problem. Right? The people have been just freed from slavery. They're learning to be free. And God knows that when they go into this land, that there's all these other nations who serve created things. They serve and worship sex. They serve and worship the weather. They serve and worship all these false gods, not the real gods. And so God is concerned for his people that they've been free and that they're going to fall back into slavery. And Moses knows that if they start worshiping these other gods, that their humanity will be degraded and that their community will flounder. It'll flounder. And so Moses is like the coach, and he's saying, guys, we need to be holy. We need to be set apart. Guys, you are God's treasured possession. And God is faithful to his promise, and God is loving, and God is about to give you this amazing and good land. But the responsibility for Israel was to be holy, to be holy. Well, what is holy? Like, what does this word mean? Well, I grew up in the church, and so I'm familiar with this, some of this language, but as a kid, I thought, well, holy as a kid, that means like you never lie, you never cheat, and you never steal candy, right? That's holiness when you're a kid in your kid's mind. But we all know people that seem very holier than thou, right? Some people seem holier than thou. Maybe they're very religious. What does this word holy actually mean? And when we say that God is holy, what do we mean? Is it just moral standards? Well, the word holy, it means unique. It means separate. It means that God is the creator and sustainer of life. It means that God is pure. You know, one way of thinking about this is just thinking about the sun in our solar system, right? There is only one star in our solar system. It's unique. Not only that, but it's powerful. It's a huge amount of energy and light in a ball, and once in a while these solar flares erupt. In 2001, there was the world's largest recorded solar flare, and the hemisphere facing the sun, the whole hemisphere experienced radio disruptions, and even, I'm told, power grids went offline from this powerful solar flare that happened. The sun is powerful. Not only that, the sun, it gives life and sustains life on our planet, right? Without the sun, we'd be lost. This is like God, right? Now, what happens if we try and travel towards the sun, right? If we astronauts, NASA wanted to send a spaceman to the sun, he'd get burned up, right? He wouldn't make it very far. And it's not because the sun is bad. It's because the sun is so powerful, so amazing, so good, so holy. This is like God. But thanks be to Jesus who has made a way for us to be in relationship with God. Well, let's dive back into our passage here a little bit in Deuteronomy 7. And there's some interesting things about holiness in the Old Testament. I mean, God is telling the people, verse 2, destroy these other nations. God is saying, don't intermarry with them. God is saying, you know, verse 5, tear down their places of worship. Don't mix with them. What God is saying is, be separate, because God is holy. Be holy. And I realize these verses, especially if you're exploring Christianity or you might be asking questions, these verses are going to conjure up some big questions, right? Big questions. What kind of God is this? I want to say two things. Bear with me today. We're going to go through a few things in this sermon. I might not answer your question specifically, but I'd love if you wanted to have a conversation. And secondly, this fall, Pastor Keith is going to lead us into a great series called The Problem of Christianity, and we're going to ask all these hard questions and have safe places for people to actually ask questions and dialogue about some of these topics. So God is concerned for his Old Testament people, the nation of Israel. He wants them to be separate because he has just freed them, and his heart's desire for his people is to be free, to not fall into slavery again. And God is concerned that the hearts of his people will fall back into slavery. You see, Old Testament holiness is largely about be separate, be separate. God dwells with his people in the Old Testament in the temple, but it's a separate place in the temple, and the people can't go in there, only the high priest once a year. And God develops a system for people to be able to interact with him and to be holy themselves through sacrifice in the Old Testament. God gives this framework for them to be holy in the Old Testament. Well, my wife and I, we have several young children, and a while ago we were looking around our house, and it was like toy apocalypse. Toys everywhere, like everywhere. We were stepping on Lego and Barbies and trains and just toys everywhere. And it was kind of driving us crazy a little bit, right? So we had a brainwave. We said we're gonna get like 10 Rubbermaid bins, and we're gonna separate all the toys, right? We're gonna separate all the toys, and now we have a toy bin for Lego. We have a toy bin for trains. We have a toy bin for the Barbies. And man, that's holiness as a parent, right? That is holiness. These toys are separated. It's nicely organized. But you know what happens. You bring out a special toy bin, and then another one comes out, and then it's all a mess again, right? So our best efforts to stay separate, to stay holy, they didn't go very far. So too with the nation of Israel, right? The best efforts to stay holy fail. The leaders fail. The community fails, right? So why does God want his people to be holy? Looking at the Old Testament. Why? God is holy, and he wants his people to be set apart to be holy. Why? God wants his people to flourish. He wants them to have abundant life. He wants them to live according to his design. And by doing so, they become a beacon of hope, a beacon of light to the world around them. This is God's intention for Israel. Well, let's fast forward a little bit. Let's talk about the New Testament here. We're going to do a big survey in God's story about holiness. And fast forward a few thousand years to the time of Jesus. So Jesus comes and he kind of turns this idea of holiness upside down in a way. And he adds some new dimensions that have never before been seen or heard about. Jesus comes as the embodiment of holiness, a holy God dwelling with people. And what does Jesus do, right? If you know the story, does Jesus go up and hide on a mountain and make people climb up there and visit him because he's too holy? Or does he avoid places? No. Jesus goes to the sketchy places. Jesus spends time with the outcast. Jesus hangs out with the outsider. And not only this, the holy Jesus makes people clean. He restores them. He heals them. He makes them whole physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Jesus' holiness fixes what is broken. And so Jesus, this embodiment of holiness, we see how his life of holiness, it made other people clean, how it was motivated by love, how Jesus rescued, and how Jesus begins the work of restoration to bring all things back according to God's plan. And so one way to think about holiness in the New Testament is simply this. Holiness is to be human according to God's perfect design. To be human according to God's perfect design. Jesus shows us that holiness is acting to the will and the way of God. Holiness is living a life according to God's purpose. Holiness is not just about morals, but also what it means to be human in a world made by God. Holiness is a privilege that we get to step into. Did you get that? Holiness is a privilege that we get to step into. Well, you might be sitting here this morning and really wrestling internally. You might be thinking, I'm not sure if I measure up. Like, we're talking about holiness. And you might be thinking, like, you know, the week I just came from, big arguments with my spouse. Maybe you're thinking about the road rage that you were part of this week, or, you know, yelling at the kids, or struggling in a relationship. Well, wherever you are at this morning, there is some good news. There is some good news. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus gives us incredible freedom. Incredible freedom that is available to us. We are free from rules, free from religion. We are free from duty. We are free to step into the life that God has designed for us, which is a holy life. Now, Ephesians 1, it talks about how we have received the Holy Spirit when we believe in Jesus. And this is literally the Spirit of holiness in us. There is no more separation. God is in us. Wherever you go, God is there. In many senses, you bring God with you wherever you go. Holiness in the Bible is about being filled by the Spirit of God and living the best life possible, which is according to God's design. Holiness results in a lifestyle of worship, flourishing, community, and blessing others. This is the vision for personal holiness. Worship, flourishing, community, blessing others. Holiness is thinking as Jesus thinks. Holiness is loving your neighbor. Holiness is knowing and living into your identity in Christ. Holiness is speaking out against injustice. Holiness is not just morals, but what it means to be human in a world made by God. Well, still with me? Still with me this morning, guys? Right on. Well, I think when we're talking about holiness, there's some traps that we often fall into. The first trap is that we tend to think about holiness, we tend to like get back to the Old Testament of rules and regulations and do this, don't do that, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. But I want to say that holiness is more about what we get to step into as far as our identity and who God has made us to be. There are some pretty clear things in the Bible in the area of sexuality and money, but let the Holy Spirit lead you into holiness. Know God's word and be guided by the Spirit. I think the second trap that we tend to fall into is we either end up in a holy huddle, as Pastor Keith says, where we just have Christians around us, or we're into the world and we have no idea how to live out our Christian life. And this is a real tension that people fall into. In my own Christian journey, around the age 18, I made a firm commitment to Jesus, and this is when my Christian life really took off and became my own. But for the next maybe 10 years, I really struggled with this tension of being in a Christian circle and being, you know, as I should as a Christian, and then being around my non-Christian friends and not being as I should, and not knowing how to live out a genuine Christian life. Can anyone relate to that? You relate to that? Maybe in your workplace, when I was a young adult, I was on a construction site, and I just remember praying, like, God, how do I be a Christian on a construction site? I don't know, and I'm struggling, right? Right? These are real life struggles. And so for me personally in the journey, it wasn't until I had someone really disciple me into my identity in Christ and understanding this is who I am in Christ, and I don't need to be ashamed, and this is what God has done for me, and I get to step into that freedom. And that's when holiness really started to take root. And so pastorally, that's my prayer for you, that you would have people that would help you step into your identity in Christ and give you the freedom to be holy, to be in the world, but not of the world. So remember a few things this morning. Holiness is the result of Jesus' work, not yours. Holiness is who you are, God's chosen people. Live out your identity. Holiness means we get to go into the mess of the world around us, knowing that God is going with us. We are on mission, set apart as ambassadors of heaven. And holiness means we get to celebrate the good life that God has given us and be an example to others of his abundance, of his creativity, his goodness, and his design for humanity. Well, one quote I came across this week that I thought was particularly helpful is this: holiness does not consist in mystic speculation, enthusiastic fervors, or uncommanded austerities. In other words, it's not about a big show or a list of rules or things like that, but it consists of thinking as God thinks and willing as God wills. God's mind and will are known from his word. And so far as I really believe and understand God's word, God's mind becomes my mind, and God's will becomes my will. And according to the measure of my faith, I become holy. It's a good quote I came across this week. So what does this look like in real life? Let me give you a few just real-life examples from people of MCA Church. And I haven't asked these people, so I'm not going to mention their names, but this is living out holiness, and I'm not going to point people out. But this week, someone needed a place to stay. They were visiting someone at the hospital, and this person was not from town, and they needed a place to rest that was close to the hospital. And so someone from our church opened up their home to this stranger and practiced hospitality. This is holiness. Another person this week that I was talking to, who's in his late 60s, he was feeling actually a little bit convicted about some of the movies that he was watching. And he unpacked it that it wasn't about a legalistic I should or shouldn't be watching these movies, but he just felt like, I'm watching these movies and I feel like it's getting in the way of my relationship with Jesus. And he said, you know, I think I'm going to give up those movies for a season and just focus on the abundant life that God has for me. That is holiness. That is being led by the Spirit. Holiness is friends who go and gather around a young woman who is in the hospital and about to have surgery, and they pray for her, and they see miraculous things happen. This is holiness. This is practicing what God would do. This is holiness for us. MCA Church, what is your motivation for holiness? What is your personal motivation for holiness? Personally, I want to see God move in powerful ways. I want to see God's hand move like Moses is speaking about, where he rescued people from Egypt and moved in powerful, powerful ways. This is my motivation for holiness. I want to be intimate with Jesus. I don't want anything in the way. I don't want anything holding me back from the abundant life that God has for me. And so I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to step into the identity that he has for me. Church, are you ready for personal holiness? Will you take that step today? Well, as we kind of move toward the end of the sermon this morning, we end on a different kind of note. The conclusion and the application is a bit bizarre, and that's this. The conclusion is, you can't do it. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it in your strength. I'm reminded of Moses speaking to Israel when he says to them, verse 7, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all people." In other words, Moses is saying, it wasn't because you're big and powerful and awesome and cool, but Moses says, it was because the Lord loved you and God is faithful. This is true for us this morning too. Holiness is not something we conjure up. It's submission. It's surrendering to the work of Jesus in our life. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life freely. And so my question this morning is, are you all in? Are you all in for Jesus? What area of your life might be holding you back this week? Is it a relationship that's an ongoing struggle that you need to surrender to Jesus? Is it a hobby? There's nothing wrong with a hobby, but if your hobby gets in the way of your relationship with Jesus, do you need to surrender that to Jesus? Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a serious struggle that you're having. Maybe it's something that you're going through. And if it is, I would say reach out to a friend. Reach out to a friend. We have a prayer team. There's some pastors here. We'd love to talk with you this morning. Are you all in for Jesus? I heard a quote from a Christian speaker. I can't remember who it is, but it was just such a good quote. And he said, at the end of a Christian's life, the only thing a Christian will look back and regret is the opportunity to not become a saint. The only thing a Christian will regret at the end of their life is the opportunity missed if they didn't pursue holiness. Holiness. It's God's design for us. It's God's life of flourishing that we get to step into, being led by the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, the application is this, simply to take a posture of surrender to Jesus, to be open to him, to be open in your heart, to be open to the work that he wants to do in your life this week. Ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Holiness is not rules. It's simply inviting the Holy Spirit in to take control of your life. Ask Jesus to show you the mind of Christ. Because Jesus is our holiness, Jesus is our new mind, Jesus is our new identity that we get to live out. And it's an amazing adventure, and you will never regret it. Give yourself to him today. Ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, and step into the privilege of holiness. I invite you to join me as we pray, and just in your, you can have a physical posture or you can have a mental posture, but have a posture of openness to Jesus this morning. Jesus, what a privilege it is to be in relationship with you. Jesus, we thank you that you have completed the work on the cross on our behalf, Lord. Thank you that you bring glory to the Father. Thank you that you invite us into relationship with you. Thank you that you send the Holy Spirit to empower us to a life of holy living and flourishing. Thank you, Jesus, that you are King and Lord and Savior. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. We invite your presence in our life. And Lord, we turn over those areas of our life that we are hanging on to, Jesus. Lord, we give you the keys to our life. We give you the keys to the things that we're hanging on to, Jesus. We invite your presence and power in our life. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.